Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Now, this would be a time you would absolutely sell out on a fastball. Same thing with the 3-0 pitch. And if he doesn't throw it, he doesn't throw it. But I would sell out on a fastball inside and look to hit one to the bleachers.
The 3-1. Dansby swings and drives it to the bleachers, Ron, just as you said. All the way back. Home run for Dansby Swanson. Get out the tape measure for Dansby. A long blast. Halfway up into the seats.
Doesn't get much better than that from Ron Coomer. Welcome back. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, Mully off today. Sammy Sosa is going to be at Wrigley Field. Real quickly before we get to Coom, details about his involvement will be restricted to he is going to get a tour of the facilities. He's never really seen the new renovated Wrigley Field. He hasn't probably seen how big and spacious the clubhouse is and all the different way places he could have hidden had he been in that clubhouse when he was playing. But he's going to get a tour of the facilities. He's going to have a brief media session, I think, with reporters in the Cubs beat in the press box or somewhere at Wrigley Field. He won't be part of the first pitch or the seventh inning stretch, but he will be, he is expected to be, on Cubs Radio with Zach, Pat, and our next guest, Ron Coomer, who joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Coom.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Doing well. Great to talk to you. Big day at Wrigley. Big weekend series with the Mariners. Made even bigger, it seems, this morning with the news from Bob Nightingale, who tweeted out, and we have now confirmed, Sammy Sosa will be in the building, Coom. What's your reaction?
My reaction is, how did Bobby know before I did, and I'm here and he's in Arizona? My buddy. That's why he does what he does. That's exactly right. But no, it's great. I got to see Sammy this winter at the Cubs convention, and I thought that was really, really good. We had dinner together at one of the pre-convention dinners that the Cubs put on, and so I got a chance to talk to him quite a bit, and I'm happy for him. And I was happy to see him in spring. He was glowing when he was in spring training, working with some of the kids and talking to some of the guys during camp and, you know, going by the cage. That's Sammy. So I'm very happy for him. I'm glad that he got everything worked out with Tom. And, you know, he belongs in baseball. So we're going to see Sammy today, and I'm happy for him is probably the best way to describe it.
So, Coom, you know Cub fans, and you know some people have been waiting for this for a very long time, and you know some people probably still wish it's not happening and would resist and resent that it is. How do you think he will be received if, in fact, the fans get a chance to either see him on the video board or see him in some capacity today during the game?
He'll get a standing ovation. That's what I think. I think what he did for the city of Chicago playing with that period of time with him and McGuire and the way the game went then, I think people will remember all of the home runs and all of the good that came through that time. And I think he's going to get a big, big ovation at Wrigley Field. I really do.
So, Coom, you have been all over this Pete Crow Armstrong ascension, and you labeled what happened yesterday the sequel to the movie that he starred in the night earlier. You guys have been having a lot of fun, and it's obvious that the enthusiasm that we see him play with, it affects everybody watching him, the broadcasters, the fans, everybody that talks about PCA. It's just infectious. How would you describe
really
the week,
is.
What's going on, and the start that he's off to?
Well, I think, first of all, you got to tip your hat to the hitting guys. You know, they put in a lot of work with Pete to get him to this point, right? I mean, you know, he was a young guy that was trying to learn what it's like to play in the big leagues at 21, 22 years old last year. And now he's, you know, he spent a lot of time this spring training, and he put in the time, the effort, and he has that, you know, that will to be very good, right? I mean, and to be great. And, you know, some players have that thing, you know, they just do. And Pete's one of those guys. And now you put that together with work ethic, and things are going to work out. And he learns very quick. I mean, this is a young kid that's learning how to hit and what teams are doing to him, you know, on the fly in the big leagues. And he is adapting to big league life and how to succeed in the big leagues. So it's really impressive. I've seen him work with John Mailey many times and in spring on things that I was like, you know, if he can do this, this is really going to help his game. And boy, he does it, and he does it right away, and it carries over into the game. So it's all about Pete. The thing that's cool, though, David, as you've seen and Pat and I see on a daily basis, is his personality comes out, right? I mean, he's fiery. Nothing wrong with that. People go, well, he shouldn't be that way. Why? How many players in the league have been fiery? Paul O'Neill used to beat the dog out of the water cooler. They'd put one on the end of the dugout just so he could beat on it. In New York with Torrey, I mean, there's guys that do that. That's their thing. But that's okay. He gets it out of his system. Now you move on. You go to center field and play the game and keep going. There's nothing wrong with him showing his personality, you know, from the hair to all the other things that go on. But I just like that he wants to win, and he wants to make every play, and he wants to get hit every time up. Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Ron Coomer on The Score, sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at Huntington.com/your money. So, Coom, I also think defensively, all the metrics and all the – you don't even need metrics. You can just use your own eyesight to see what difference he makes and how special he is. But it does seem like the communication between him and Ian Happ and Kyle Tucker is better this year. Tucker wasn't here a year ago, but it does seem like there are fewer instances where they're coming close, or they're looking at each other after catching the ball, right, and they're avoiding collisions. Has that improved, and is that something that comes with experience?
It's improved for sure, David, but I would say there's still room for improvement. Because you're talking out a young guy, and you're talking out, you know, two guys that are really established at their positions on either side of them. So, you know, how you can adapt and cover more ground because you know the guy in the middle is going to cover this. So now I can shade the other way, and I know he's got a gap or whatever that might be. So there's still a little room for improvement, but, you know, not that much, because those three guys are covering the outfield about as good as any three outfielders in the big leagues right now. And, you know, Pete's a big reason for that. The ball he caught in left center field when Pat dropped the movie, the Pete Crow Armstrong movie, the eighth inning movie on the other day, that was absolutely incredible. He was not in the picture, and then he was. And then all of a sudden he's laying out and making a catch. So that he goes and gets the ball in center field. If it stays in the park as well as anybody I have ever seen in the big leagues, and that's including a Ken Griffey Jr., some of the guys. He can flat out go get them.
Now, I dubbed you Nostrakumus earlier in the program because you called you called the Dansby Swanson home run before it happened, and it was one of those things where you just had this innate sense of what was going to come from the pitcher and what he was going to do when he saw it. Aside from sharing your brilliance with us, how would you describe the type of season Dansby Swanson's putting together at the plate in terms of power? 14 home runs for this stage of the season is more than I expected to get from the shortstop.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, once again, you're talking about a guy in Dansby who has put in the work and is, you know, the discussions that are going on, I'm sure, with the hitting people we have, you know, about, you know, what pitches he has to cover. And I think, you know, he's always been able to cover the inner half very well. He's had his issues with covering the outer half of the plate. And they have, when you watch from my vantage point, you can see how they're pitching him. Plain as day, they're gonna work him inside enough to where he knows pitches are coming in there, but they're trying not to throw him strikes inside to get him out away and to keep pounding him away, and that's where they're gonna try to go after him to get him out. And he was having a hard time covering that pitch away. Now they've got him covering some of that pitch away a lot and using the other side of the field, whether he gets a hit or not, it still helps in the path that he's trying to hit the ball, which is back through the middle. So that really helps him stay on the pitches that he can really hammer instead of fouling them off. And that's what he's doing. He's on the pitch that he really covers, which is that inner half fastball or cutter. And now he's covering the pitch away. So that's allowing him to do both things. And, you know, when you can do that, and pitchers are going to make mistakes in your spot, your hot spot. And when they have, he hasn't missed them a lot this year. That ball he hit yesterday, he teed off on that one. That was a bomb.
So the rain out afforded the Cubs some options and gave them some different sort of possibilities to how to handle the pitching rotation. Mm-hmm. They chose to move Cade Horton back to Saturday. Jameson Taillon pitched yesterday. Wasn't one of his better outings. He was, I think, due for one of those things because he's been pretty consistent. What do you think about the way Horton is being handled, and how do you expect that to possibly change if Shota comes back to the rotation?
Yeah, I think Cubs will have a decision to make in what they're going to do. I really don't know, you know, which way they're going to go with who's going to come out of the rotation. I like the idea that Cade got pushed back and you threw J-Mo in there. I know it didn't work out well, but J-Mo's been on an incredible roll. He just didn't have command of his breaking ball yesterday. And that was not having command out of the zone. It was in the zone. He just couldn't get the pitch going to where he wanted to, and he left some in the middle of the plate. And on a big hitter's day like we had yesterday at Wrigley, he paid the price. I think he's thrown six or seven games in a row where he's just been lights out. So I guess, you know, it's going to happen, like you said, once in a while. But Cade is one of those guys. He didn't pitch a lot in college. He hasn't thrown a lot of innings, you know, in his, you know, between college and pro ball. So I think, you know, giving him the extra time is a good thing. And that's what counts did. So we'll see what happens, though, with the Shota thing here coming up in the next, probably 3 or 4 days.
What do you expect when he does return? Because this is somebody who's never had the injury that he's had. And it's not been it wasn't an arm injury. So you do wonder, I think Craig Council was even asked yesterday, is there a silver lining in having Shota out for as long as he was? Because he's now coming back rested. His arm is going to be fresh. And you do wonder how he will be in terms of consistency. But I don't know what version of Shota Imanaga we're going to get just because he's never really come back from this.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows. I don't even think Shota knows, right? You're going to go and, you know, he's throwing, and we'll see what we get in the big leagues. But when he comes back, I did ask the question to Counts the first game of the Milwaukee series in his office when him and I were just talking. I said, is he, with the hamstring, is he good? Is it like he's just getting good and he's coming back? Or, you know, where's he at with his leg? And he said, we do not worry about the leg at all. The leg is fine. The hamstring is 100% fine. You know, we're just trying to get him back to being able to pitch like he's capable of. So this should be a fully healthy, no, you know, nothing hold back with Shota. So now it's just pitch shapes and, you know, can he command his stuff? That's going to be, at the end of the day, what will be the final judgment, and how long is that going to take for him to get real sharp? Is it the first game? Is it 3 games? Is it, you know, he's been out for, you know, he'll be out for 2 months.
Coop, you know how it works in a city like Chicago, in a market like this. Jed Hoyer has been pretty transparent about the quest for a starting pitcher, and we interpret that as the need for an ace. And so when you are open about getting an ace or seeking an ace, he puts a lot of pressure on himself to deliver. And I think that's an interesting approach to it. So are we, as a, you know, the media core and a fan base now, looking at this, won't people be disappointed if the Cubs don't make a trade for a difference-making starter?
Well, I would say probably yes. I think it's not an easy thing to do is go out and find a number one starter. They certainly don't grow on trees, that's for sure. They're just, those deals just don't happen just by the snap of a finger. So it's always difficult. It's great to say as a fan and you're talking in general terms and, oh, we need this and we want that. And it takes two teams to tango to get this trade done, and not everybody wants to give up their number one starter. So it's difficult. I think what you did see, though, in that stretch that the Cubs played between going to Detroit, Philly, where else were we at? You saw some of Pittsburgh with Skeens. You saw the impact that a number one starter has. That's a high-end ace pitcher, right? So, that really makes it difficult on opposing teams in a short series or in a playoff-type series. You know, we saw it in 16 when you had Jake and Johnny pitching in 16, and you had two number one guys, and you're like, yeah, these teams, we're just mowing through them because it's difficult. So, we'll see what happens, but it would be great to have it. Is it going to be easy to pull that off? Definitely not.
Coop, the Cubs are in a good spot. 16 games over 500. It's June 20th. They've got a 5.5 game lead over the Brewers and the Cardinals. Just seeing the Brewers, and certainly people who paid attention to the Sox doubleheader just saw the Cardinals. They aren't going away either. What do you think about – you haven't seen the Cardinals yet, but what makes the Brewers scary or pesky or the kind of team that you don't think is going to go away?
Well, they've got some veteran players that are really good. I think Christian Yelich is one of those guys that's a stabilizing force. So he's the ultimate professional player. So I think that really helps. You've got some guys with an edge to them with Contreras, and you've got great closer. You saw McGill, and he's throwing absolute bullets at the end of the game in a crazy hostile environment yesterday, and he didn't buckle at all. So they've got some things. And then the wild card of all of it that everybody was wondering about is the Pat Murphy effect and what Pat Murphy would bring to the table that with that Brewer team when Craig Counsell left. And what, I've known for a long, long time with Pat is he is a really good, he's a great leader. And he's one of those people that gets a lot out of players that aren't superstar players. He gets them believing in themselves. He gets them playing at a higher level. And I think that team is the perfect example of what and who he can really motivate. He's a great motivator. And you saw their lineup. Our lineup has more names and everything, but they're getting some big production and big games out of guys that are new to the league. And that's the Pat Murphy effect. I really believe that. And so you got to – they're not going away. You got to go through Milwaukee, and the Cardinals and the Cubs both have to understand that. And we've experienced that now the last few years that it's three teams in this division that are banging on each other, and, we'll see what happens at the end.
Before I let you go, Coom, Kyle Tucker, the projected numbers are still very – above average, and you're not going to complain about his production level necessarily. He has had a couple moments in late game at bats where they haven't been as productive as he probably would have liked. And I think you wonder where he is and is he getting banged up and is that affecting his approach at the plate? Where are you with Kyle Tucker?
I don't know if he's banged up. I think Tuck has made a huge impact. The impact that he has made on the Cubs lineup is evident in the next two guys that hit behind them. That's my take on it. It's simple as that. When they were pitching him early in the season and he was wearing teams out, they went, yeah, that's enough of that. And they moved to the next two guys, and now they're, leading the league in RBIs and one of the league leaders in home runs and blah, blah, blah. So you're seeing the impact that Kyle Tucker has on the lineup. So that's the one thing. And I think playing in Wrigley Field is another thing that takes some time to get used to. The changing schedule all the time. I really do. I think it's not the easiest place to play, although it's one of the best places to play. It's not the easiest with this, you know, the day night thing all the time changing. So I think he's doing just fine. And the longer he's here, the more he's going to get used to playing here at Wrigley. And, you know, I anticipate him having a big second half of the season. I really do. You know, and what that does is it really helps Saya and Pete hitting right in behind him.
Coom, have a great day at the ballpark. It's going to be a lot of fun with Sammy Sosa there. I know you're going to enjoy yourself. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, David. Yep, great to talk to you. Hopefully Mike is doing fine. And I will talk to you guys next week, buddy.
Ron Coomer, Cubs analyst, sits next to Pat Hughes and Zach Zaidman. He will be on the call today. Sammy Sosa expected to join the guys in the booth at some point during today's game, which begins right here on the Score, 12:45, the pregame coverage, Cubs-Mariners right here on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. So what do you think? You like, glad Sammy's back? You wrapping both arms around him, giving him a big hug? He's going to be at Wrigley.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Today, he's not going to be throwing out the first pitch. He's not going to be singing the seventh inning stretch. We will tell you some more details about how you will be able to see Sammy. Maybe you run into him in line waiting for a hot dog or a beer bat or something like that. We'll let you know what's next and ahead today. A big day at Clark and Addison. It's Mully and Haw. Mully off today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.